Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Beaver Dam. I am Tyler Avila, and joining me today is our newest member to the squad. You heard him last week talk to Reed. He is one of the captains on the football team and a four-year starter at linebacker, Gino Spadaro. Gino, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about you, Tyler?
I'm doing excellent. This weekend in Beaver Sports, there was some upside, I should say.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with you on that one.
Football team got their first win of the year, and cross country is doing well, and golf, and the soccer teams are looking to still continually improve throughout the year, and the volleyball team hosted a tournament.
Yeah, you know, Bluffton sports, I think, are, you know, we're on the upside. You know, we always talk about it with football. You know, the sports teams are, they're rising now.
Yes, they are. So let's get started with the football team. They got the first win of the year. Jordan Watkins nails a 37-yard field goal to win it. I know you're on the defensive side, but Run me through that play leading up to that game-winning field goal.
It's obviously nerve-wracking. You know, there's a lot of emotions in the air at that point in time. Before the field goal, Keon Camden made a heck of a catch. It was unreal. So he made the huge play to set up the field goal. And, you know, the offense came off the field. Field goal unit went on, and, you know, I remember it was me, Colby Spies, and Kyle Recker. We just sat down and said a quick prayer, and it was a good snap, good hold, and the kick actually got blocked. It got tipped, and, you know, traveled just far enough, bounced off the left upright, and went in. It was unreal. It was awesome.
Speaking of Colby, he had a heck of a game. He ran for one touchdown. He had 431 passing yards. He had one pick, but he seems to be doing better, not throwing as many interceptions as he did starting the season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a team, offensively, I know that they preach ball security. And, you know, I know that that is something that our offense has been working on over the course of the past few weeks. You know, before every game, I tell Colby, look, man, just go out and do what you can do. I mean, Colby's got the talent to be, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the conference and, you know, the country, in my opinion. My man can throw the ball, you know, just as good as anybody can. And you know, it's pretty apparent when you watch him play. When our offense takes care of the football and, you know, Colby plays the way that he played, I mean, I don't think that there's a team that can stop our offense.
Well, they really seem to be clicking this week. They accomplished 26 first downs compared to the 10 last week they had against Trine. Now, Trine and Mount St. Joe are two different teams, like we've been talking about the last couple of weeks.
Right.
Micah had to have been a big part of this, too. He had 186 receiving yards on 9 catches.
Yeah. You know, in my interview with Reed last week, I said that we got a new offensive coordinator, you know what I mean? You know, the offensive line is not very experienced right now, you know, especially with Ian O'Donnell going down. Ethan Williams is the only guy that played on the offensive line last year, like, who saw time. So, you know, when you got a new offensive coordinator and, you know, people who aren't very experienced right now, but it takes time. And, you know, I always said I'm extremely confident in our offense. I know that we got the guys to do it. And, you know, I think on Saturday we saw a glimpse of what we can really do. You know, I have to tip my hat off to Coach Krebs as well. Came in with an unreal game plan. It was incredible. The offense, they just moved the ball consistently. I mean, every drive, they were taking what the defense was giving them. And Micah, like you said, 186 receiving yards, 9 catches. You know, compared to last week where he had like 16 receiving yards or something like that. I think it's pretty apparent what happens when you give guys like Micah the ball. Good things happen, you know, on the field. And, you know, also Keon had a good day too. I think Keon had 3 catches for 144 yards or something like that. I mean, Lucas Espedia too. You know, we got 3 receivers out there that, you know, are sure-handed and, you know, they can make a play at any given time. And then, you know, you got guys like Hunter Morrison as well and stuff like that and Adam Duncan. So we got a good unit offensively.
Yes, you guys do. Defensively, you guys had 51 tackles and 2 sacks. Talk to me about how the defense played compared to last week to this week.
Well, I think our defense stepped up. You know, we played a lot better than we have the last couple weeks. You know, kind of like the offense, defensively we're not very experienced either. You know, we got a lot of defensive linemen that play that are freshmen. You know, we got a lot of freshman defensive backs that see time. Stefan Kozakowski, he's one of our freshman corners. Brian Coleman, he's another freshman corner. We got a lot of inexperience out there defensively, a lot of athletes, though. And I think, like the offense, we saw, you know, the potential starting to show. Like, Saturday, we played extremely well. It was just, like, a few big plays that we gave up, just a couple long passes that they completed over our guys that went for scores. And, you know, if we eliminate those, then, I mean, it wouldn't have really even been close, in my opinion. And then tackles and stuff like that. You know, the last few weeks, our biggest problem was, like, missing tackles and stuff like that. And, you know, I think we fixed that a little bit on Saturday. And, you know, we got to the quarterback as well. You know, we haven't really played a team that liked to pass it, really, these last few weeks. And so it was nice to play an offense that liked to, you know, throw it a little bit because we got guys like Isaac Zikafoos and Ollie Moore who are able to get back there at the quarterback.
Yeah, I believe Ollie was one of them who got one of the sacks.
You know, as much as we blitz and stuff like that, you know, it's always nice to play a team that passes because, you know, we'll be able to get back to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys have a tough matchup this coming weekend at home against Franklin. How are you guys going to use the last 3 weeks to get ready for Franklin?
Well, you know, Franklin, I've watched a little bit of film on them already. They're a really good team. There's no secret. They got the best quarterback in the country. You know, the best passing offense in the country. They got two really, 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 really good receivers. And so, you know, we got to keep building. Even if we weren't playing Franklin next week, you know what I mean? Like, it can be anybody that we're playing next week. We still got to improve every single day. You know, we can't play the same way that we just played against Mount St. Joe. We need to build, you know, every single day and improve every single day. But, you know, I mean, Franklin's always a tough game. They don't make many mistakes offensively. You know, when you play really good teams like that, if you make any mistakes, they'll take advantage of you just like that. And so, you know, we need to work to eliminate the mistakes out there defensively. And offensively, if they can build off of what they just did on Saturday, the sky's the limit for them. I know last year we had a really successful day offensively against them. I think we put up over 600 yards on Franklin last year. You know, it's possible. And we still got the guys that were there last year. And so, you know, it's definitely possible to do that. So, you know, if our offense can move the ball like they did on Saturday and dominate the game, you know, I think we'll definitely have a chance. And then defensively, like I said, just stop the pass and don't make mistakes and don't beat ourselves.
So moving on, we got cross country. Both the men and the women raced at the Tiffelberg Open in Akron over the weekend. The women's team placed 5th out of 9 teams. Jenny Madsen and Alexis Cash placed 16th and 17th, respectively, out of 91 runners. Rounding out the top 5 were Kimberly Hedrick, Bailey Barrington, and Alyssa Hawk. I was able to sit down with Jenny Madsen, and this is what we discussed. How has your season gone for you personally?
So, I'm a junior, and personally, it's gone a lot better than my freshman and sophomore year, so it's going good.
How's the team been looking so far?
Team's looking good. We had the Bluffton meet, which is a 5K course, and the men run a 6K, but normally, at the rest of our meets, like, the women will run a 6K, and the men run an 8K, so that was a little different, like, doing the 5K course, but I ran under 20 minutes. I think I ran a 19:40, and then my teammates were like really moving along, but I took off another 10 seconds. We've ran three races now, so since last weekend I ran a 24:24, and then this past weekend I ran a 24:14. For the women, like, we don't have numbers. We only have 8 girls on our roster. I think the boys only have 7 with our senior Chris on the guys team. He's out on a he has a stress fracture in his pelvis, so he's going to be out the whole cross season. But for the women, we have a really strong, you know, top 7 and the top 5 score. It's looking really good. And our conference teams, we'll see a few of them at Oberlin here, like, later in the season.
With the addition of the two freshmen you guys have, Kimmy Hetrick and Bailey Barrington, how have they helped you guys improve?
They've been awesome. Honestly, as freshmen, they want to be on the team, you know, which is important off the bat. But they're ready to work hard, and they've taken, like, college running really well, is my interpretation. Kimmy especially, like, she pushes herself in workouts, and Bailey too. They've both been really great. They're 3 and 4 on our, like, women, so our 3rd and 4th best girls.
Is it fun having someone on the team who pushes and challenges you like Alexis?
Mm-hmm. It's definitely needed. We push each other. Like, this past weekend, I beat her, but the weekend before that, she beat me by, you know, a good, like, 10 seconds or something. But you need that on a team to grow and improve, and you need people to, like, constantly be pushing you, or you're not going to get your best performance out of things.
So half the team is made up of upperclassmen, and the rest are underclassmen. How key is it to influence these young ladies to keep the women's cross-country team strong like you are now and for years to come?
A positive attitude on everything. What we do isn't easy. We, last year we had a huge freshman class, and they all but 2 of them stayed on the girls' side. You know, it's a lot. People leave, like, for other reasons, but a lot of people just quit because it's hard work, and we have to work hard every single day.
Yeah, that transition from high school to college is probably a lot more challenging.
Mm-hmm. I didn't expect it, and I think a lot of kids just don't expect how much time it does take outside of practice, even just, like, meets, you know, bus rides and things that aren't as time consuming in high school.
So, like you said, you're a junior. What has been your favorite cross-country meet so far this year and then throughout the years you've been running? I know it's a short amount of meets this year.
This past weekend was Heidelberg. The course was really flat, and you know, cross-country runners really like flat courses because you get faster times. And it was a really good race. Like I said, I was first for the women, but Alexis was in front of me most of the race. And I don't know, it was a fun course. It was hot. It was really hot compared to what we are used to running in, like, lately. So that was a challenge. But It was a really good day for racing still.
On to the men. The men placed 7th out of 9. Sophomore Dakota Frost placed 11th out of 126. Rounding out the top 5 were Jonah Eckert, placed 58th, Wyatt Bear, placed 71st, Jacob Hill, placed 89th, and Connor Gulick, placed 102nd.
I had the chance to sit down and talk to sophomore cross-country runner Dakota Frost, and this is what we talked about. How has your season gone for you personally?
It's gone very well. It's a lot better from last year, and I can see a lot more improvement in my performances.
How has the season gone for you guys as a team?
It's going pretty well. We lost our number one earlier this summer, so we're trying to build off of that and come in closer and close in the gaps that have developed in the past couple of meets.
Now, like you said, you lost your number one runner, Chris Lyons. How has that been a factor in having everybody step up and take that next step for the team?
We have to now work harder because obviously we lost our number one, so when it comes to our conference hopes of winning it, we have to close our gaps even more and make sure that we work as a team other than just depending on one or two people to do all the work.
Right. So you're only a sophomore, right?
Yes.
How cool is it to know that you're running really well and you still have 2 more years to improve?
And I'm actually very surprised that I'm running this well. Like, from last year, it was like a disaster. And I expected this year to be an improvement, but to be running this well right now, it's actually really amazing. And yeah, like you said, having 2 more years, it just shows how much time I have to improve even further into the future.
Now, I talked to Coach Brandt a couple weeks ago, and they said that they did have 2 freshmen, but then they quit a couple weeks before cross started. How important is it to you to help Coach Brandt recruit, to help you and the rest of the guys out for the coming years?
Yeah, obviously, like, since we don't have any new freshmen coming in, we're going to really need, like, more people to continue our team to progress. Because even though we're losing our one senior, the next seniors to come up, that's the big chunk of our varsity. So we're going to need more people to fill in those shoes so that we can continue to contend for conference championships and such.
Yeah, you have 3 juniors right now rounding out the rest of the top 5, and Wyatt Bear, Jacob Hill, and Jonah Eckert. How have they really stepped up in your eyes from last year to this year?
I see that Jonah has like really stepped up because he's been able to run with me, and I've been able to work off of him over the past couple of weeks. And obviously from last year, Jacob had his ankle injury, but he's coming along very well from that injury. And since Wyatt's a transfer, I've not really got to know him that well in his running, but he's showing a lot of improvement, and he's constantly progressing through the season, and he's going to be a pretty good force throughout the rest of the year.
Both cross-country teams, honestly, are doing very well. I mean, the men, they did lose Chris Lyons to a season-ending injury.
Right.
But sophomore Dakota Frost has really picked it up.
You know, it's always nice when you lose somebody, you know, that plays a big role in your program. You know, it's always nice to see, like, the younger people step up. And so, you know, seeing a sophomore in Dakota Frost placing 11 out of 126 people, you know, I mean, that's really impressive. And, you know, he's young, and so, you know, I mean, it can only get better from here.
Yeah, you're right. I think Chris Lyons is the only male senior on the team, where Dakota Frost and Connor Gulick are both 2 of the younger team members on the cross-country team for the men, while Jonah Eckert, Wyatt Bear, and Jacob Hill are 3 juniors who are really contributing really well. So moving forward, they're looking pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I would definitely say that the future is bright for them, especially, you know, when you got, you know, like I said, Dakota Frost is a young guy, you know, who's showing that he can compete, you know, with some of the best runners. And so I would say definitely the future is bright for them.
The women are also running really well. Jenny Madsen and Alexis Cash placing 16th and 17th out of 91 runners. That's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you got 2 girls placing that high out of so many runners, it's definitely good to have that. I mean, you got 2 runners. I think they'll really carry them, you know, throughout the season and, you know, carry the load for them.
Yeah, Alexis is only a sophomore and Jenny is a junior, so they'll both come back next year for the season. And they also have 2 freshmen placing in the top 5 with, I believe, their lone senior in Alyssa Hawk.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you've got young girls like that, people who are returning the next year and who are contributing to the team like that, I mean, there's without a doubt, you know, the sky's the limit for them. Future's definitely bright.
The next race is Friday, September 29th at the All-Ohio Cross Country Meet in Cedarville. Now for golf, we have Reed Mouse to give us some insight on what's going on. Take it away, Reed.
The women's golf team didn't have the weekend that they were hoping for. Their best performer this week was Victoria Wilson. She had the best score on the team on both days, shooting 106 on the first day, 105 on the second day. Mercedes Burns improved on day 2 after shooting 129 the first day with a 114 score. That's good for the second best on the team that day. Hannah Ferguson had the second best score on day one, but unfortunately had to withdraw on day two, forcing the team to not place from a lack of four scores. Both teams will be competing this weekend as the men are in action this Sunday at the Findlay Invitational, while the women will compete this Saturday at Transylvania.
Moving on to women's soccer, men and women hosted Baldwin-Wallace in a back-to-back game at home over the weekend. The women lost 5-0 against Baldwin-Wallace. Junior Skylar Liming paced the team with 3 shots, while freshman keeper Sienna Sullivan picked up 11 saves for the Beavers.
On to the men. They lost in the second game of the men and women doubleheader 6-2 against Baldwin-Wallace. Dimitri Giacomis and Zach Elson scored the Beavers' lone 2 goals. Now, women's soccer, they won their first game last week in almost 2 years, which, congrats to them. They're a building program. They have a lot of freshmen, which is good, because last season was not the season they wanted. They had a lot of injuries, and they had to forfeit the majority of their games. We had Lauren Foster Wheeler in here last week, and she talked about how Coach Rhonda Smith recruited her and basically told her, look, I want to rebuild this program. I need you to put in the hard work and be willing to endure the pain and suffering in order for us to grow and come back to where we were in 2011 as a women's soccer program. They're showing it. They have a freshman starter at goalie, and she had 11 saves. The sky is the limit for this women's soccer team. They have 2 seniors and I believe 3 juniors, and the rest is just underclassmen. So they have the years to continually to get better and to recruit players to help them out.
Yeah, definitely. You know, in a rebuilding process, Rome wasn't built in one day. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in one season. But you can see the improvement already. I mean, they just got their first win in, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's already improvement as it is. And even if, you know, the record doesn't end up being what they would want it to be this year, as long as you recruit freshmen that come in and, like, they understand that it's going to be a process, you know, if you recruit freshmen and, you know, and you tell them, like you just said, that, look, like, you're going to have to endure maybe a hard season or something like that, because, I mean, we're not going to win right away. You know, as long as the freshmen are just bought in to trust in the process, you recruit girls like that, you'll be able to build a program that'll be really, really good here in, you know, 2 to 3 years or something like that, once you keep bringing in people and they keep growing and maturing and, you know, getting better as time goes on.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's basically what it is for the men's team, too. They brought in 21 freshmen this year, and that's, wow. That's a lot of freshmen.
Right.
And Coach Kuzak is really preaching the same thing as Coach Smith. He's saying you got to put in the effort and believe that this team in a year or two or maybe a couple years after will be a successful program. You just got to be willing to work for it.
Yeah, like I said, just as long as you recruit freshmen, you know, that are bought into that idea and, you know, aren't just going to leave after, you know, their freshman year if you have a bad season. Because if you recruit people like that, that gets you nowhere then. You know what I mean? So, you know, as long as you recruit, you know, guys that come in and, you know, they want to be a part of something great. You know, they want to be a part of, you know, the building and stuff like that, you know, you'll be all right. You know, you'll figure this thing out here in a few years.
Last week, you heard Reed talk to Lauren Foster Wheeler from the women's soccer team. And this week, I got the chance to talk to senior Blake Hirschberger from the men's team. Your season has not started the way you guys have wanted it to so far, but how has it gone in your eyes?
Well, there's been, like, lots of, like, ups and downs where, just looking at some of the games, like, we've put on some good performances for, like, parts of games, but never, like, a full 90 minutes. And so we're just really trying to figure out a way that we can perform well for 90 minutes instead of just maybe one half. So that's kind of the goal, to get there before conference starts.
Now, how has the team improved in this three-week span that you guys had in season?
Yeah, we've been really focusing on putting just more effort in, like, whether it's winning 50-50 balls or things like that, just really working hard and trying to outwork the other team. And just by that, when everyone is working hard on the field, we're playing much better. So that's been one of the focuses, and just doing the things that we can control, like checking our shoulders and just other things that we can control. So, yeah.
Now, you guys brought in 21 freshmen. What is the main thing you guys have preached to them?
It's a lot of responsibility for some of the freshmen, especially since they're coming in and we're expecting big things out of them. And since there's only so much leadership on the team because we only have 5 returners, it's been challenging. But just trying to get these guys just in line with the program and what we expect out of them, whether it's like on the field or in the classroom, and just always trying to encourage them to step up to the next level.
What is one piece of advice you could give to the guys moving forward?
I would just say that it's you have to look at the long haul, the big picture, and that even if like one game goes bad for you, you just keep working because you have 4 years, and it's really about a progression. And so if you get stuck just looking at one game instead of looking at the long haul, then it can be frustrating. But if you see the potential of where this program could be, then it's quite exciting.
Next home game for the women's soccer team is Friday, September 22nd, as they host Huntington University.
The men's next home game is Wednesday, September 22nd, as they play host to the College of Worcester.
On to volleyball. The volleyball team hosted the Bluffton University Fall Classic over the weekend. The Beavers moved 2 games past 500 this weekend with their record at 7-5, snapping a 4-match skid in the process, losing just 1 set over the weekend. They beat Trine University in 3 sets, 25-19, 25-22, and 25-20. The Bluffton defense was on fire all night. Sophomore Carly Lester had a match-high 5 blocks. Senior Sydney Moeller tallied 20 digs, moving into fourth place all-time with 1,777 career pickups.
The Beavers beat Allegheny College in 4 sets, 25-13, 25-19, 22-25, and 25-11. And they also beat Marietta College in 3 sets, 25-18, 25-19, 25-21 on Saturday. Senior Sydney Moeller added 42 combined digs in both of Saturday's matchups to move her total to 1,819 in her career and third in the Bluffton volleyball record book. Let's talk about the volleyball's quick turnaround.
Yep.
Like you said, they lost 4 straight matches last week, and then they bounced back to win 3 straight, only losing 1 set in their match against Allegheny College.
Right.
Sydney Moeller, it's freaking insane, dude.
Yeah.
She's the reigning defensive player of the year in the HCAC.
Mm-hmm.
And she's continuing to add more to this Bluffton University volleyball program.
Yeah, you know, Sydney's been a 4-year starter now. You know, she's been doing what she's doing, you know, for the past 4 years now. You know, she's a great volleyball player. She's the cornerstone of this team. You know, she carries this team. She's the leader of this team. And so, you know, when you look at that team and you look at the success that they've had over the years, you know, Sydney's played a big role in that. There's also been some girls, you know, in the past that have been really good as well. And so, you know, you look at this team as a whole and you look at Bluffton University and you think of sports. Volleyball is one of the first sports that you think of.
Yeah, they've won 4 straight HCAC championships in the last 2 years they made it to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, you think of Bluffton sports, you think of volleyball as one of the first things that come to mind. And so, you know, Coach Yarnell has done a great job, you know, of recruiting and bringing in girls like Sydney Moeller, you know, that can come in and make a huge impact to this team. He's done a fantastic job, and not just recruiting, but, like, he's done a good job of being consistent as well. You know, any time that you can build a program the way that Coach Yarnell has, that is just consistently dominant every single year, year in and year out, that's definitely something that needs to be respected and appreciated. And they've done a good job, and like you said, a quick turnaround. They snapped a 4-match skid. You know, I expect, you know, much of the same here going forward. I don't expect them to lose very often, you know, from here on out.
They do have a tough matchup here at the end of the month when they play a conference rival, Hanover, at Hanover to open up the HCAC season.
I mean, yeah, anytime you get to open up conference and stuff like that, you know, it's probably going to be tough. Probably going to be a tough game, probably going to be a tough match. You know, like I said, I mean, football, we just opened up conference against Mount St. Joe, and that was a tough game. So, you know, it's the first time that you really get a taste of the conference. I think that volleyball, you know, probably end up being, you know, a highly competitive match. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I expect them, you know, to win a majority of their matches from here on out.
I'd like to see the volleyball continue to increase their dominance like they've had and maybe push it to a 5-year conference title.
Yeah, and definitely. And if they can do that, you know, how fun would it be to, you know, watch them make a playoff run?
And that wraps up this edition of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next week. If you want to listen to this week or the last couple of weeks' podcast, you can search and subscribe to our podcast page, The Wit 96.1 Podcast at Bluffton University on iTunes or Google Play. And you can also subscribe to our website, BlufftonWit.com, for more stories and information. This has been Tyler Avila, joined along with Gina Spadaro, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit. Roll Beave.